I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Still getting a lot of reports tonight of all kinds of unusual activity in the sky. That includes some areas looking like Mars, literally. We've been seeing photos sent to us where there are no filters on them, but it is bright orange in a lot of places around the country, especially where the fires are burning and the smoke is hovering. Utah got pounded with hurricane winds last night. Got a lot of listeners in Utah saying they got hit pretty hard. They got hit with snow. Rumors of continuity of government exercises going on there, which is something we're looking into at the moment. A number of other things going on, sure, that we're investigating to make sure that everything is okay. And believe me, if anything changes, we will certainly break into the show and report to you what's going on, because it's certainly a weird time. I mean, a lot of people, I don't think, believed me when we were on the air last night. I think a lot of people thought, yeah, you know, they're just going to take the day off like everybody else. But no, we work here at Ground Zero. We work hard to get you the information. Today, yesterday was one of those days where you just couldn't ignore, you know, what was going on. We had winds blowing here at about 65 miles per hour. We had the smoke coming in that turned everything immediately into dusk. It was like a dust storm had moved in, and it was difficult. We went a full 5 hours yesterday. It was difficult to do those 5 hours because the air was so bad. It was getting into the ventilation system, and I was getting a headache. I was feeling kind of uneasy, kind of bizarre. I don't know. Just something that, you know, we do the show, and behind the scenes, we're all scattered wondering what's happening. We had some technical difficulties because of the wind. And so tonight, hopefully, we've ironed all that out, because there's not very much wind blowing. It's still blowing out there. We still have smoke in some areas. We're getting photos all over the Willamette Valley showing us that things look like I said, it looks like the surface of Mars. It's all orange out there, and it's really creepy. We're living in some very creepy time. Tonight, I hope, we're going to take a little bit of break away from the Armageddon outside and talk about a few things that have made the news that certainly are fascinating. I know that many times on this program, I have spoken, I've done seminars at Contact in the Desert and elsewhere about the subject of Cold War alien-related material. And those are my favorite stories, the Cold War era, and how most people that are new to UFO research don't realize just how bizarre things were in the era between 1947 and 1967. And that's why, you know, all the young people are clamoring for disclosure. All of the younger people are like saying, well, why does the government say this? And they're all being programmed into thinking the government didn't say anything because they don't read history. We know the Cold War UFO stories found their way into the 1980s, and then pop culture, of course, revived Star Trek. It gave us Star Wars. We were educated on what each classification of close encounters were, with close encounters of the third kind. We had E.T. the extraterrestrial. And then from there, of course, the X-Files pretty much shaped pop culture into the Hollywood version of Cold War FBI investigations into the unknown. But now there's this viral story going around the internet about a declassified FBI memorandum. And it's making the rounds. And I believe that it should be talked about openly and how it may or may not change the way we see extraterrestrial intelligence and what the government knew decades ago about visitors from beyond. And I do mean beyond. I don't mean outer space. I'm thinking ultra-terrestrial. I'm talking beyond the geophysical. The memorandum is numbered 6751. It's more than just one document. There are plenty of documents in there, but they've been declassified. We have them at aftermath.media, by the way. Of course, whenever something like this important happens, we have it in our library. You can rest assured that when you pay $9.99 a month for this service, you're going to get some of the best documentation. You're going to be the best proof that you have to show these things. I mean, you'd be able to do your own lecture. You'd be able to sit down and talk to people about this information because you have the research. You have all the research at your fingertips by going to aftermath.media and you know, just paying the $9.99 fee. You get the shows, you get the movies, you get the documentaries, you get the memorandums like 6751, the one that everybody is like talking about right now. Certainly the most contentious issue in the now 70-year history of modern ufology is, well, how it all began. What happened? The MJ-12 saga, it begins with this crash at Roswell, this 1947 alleged crash and recovery of an alien spacecraft. And, of course, there were several crashes in New Mexico. Roswell, of course, was the only place that was nearby that they reported the crash to. I mean, there were places all over New Mexico where these crashes took place. And soon after, President Harry Truman instructed Secretary of Defense James Forrestal to set up Operation Majestic 12, MJ-12, a blue ribbon top secret panel headed by Vannevar Bush, who was part of the Manhattan Project. He was a leading Manhattan Project figure and creator of the Memex machine, which was a forerunner to the modern-day computer. So you have all these guys meeting together secretly to talk about what are we going to do? What are we going to do about the Roswell situation? Memorandum for the Secretary of Defense, dated September 24th, 1947. Dear Secretary Forrestal, as per our recent conversation on this matter, you are hereby authorized to proceed with all due speed and caution upon our undertaking. Hereafter, this matter shall be referred to only as Operation Majestic 12. It continues to be my feeling that any future considerations relative to the ultimate disposition of the matter should rest solely with the Office of the President, following appropriate discussions with yourself, Dr. Bush, and the Director of Central Intelligence. Now, this is where the intelligence operations were first underway. Right after Roswell, we had the Army and the Air Force split up. This was a major breakup within the military. And the security apparatus was set up with the NSA and the CIA. Just right after Roswell. So whatever happened at Roswell was a major, major occurrence. To have all this happen in sequence. I mean, old school researchers of UFO lore contend that the MJ-12 committee eventually brokered the sit-down between President Truman, and then, of course, Vannevar Bush and Secretary of Central Intelligence, and eventually it was President Dwight Eisenhower that sat down with real aliens, okay? We're talking about, you know, whatever they were. President Eisenhower sat down and had an agreement. And this is from the Cold War old school research of UFOs, and it's a very interesting story that Dwight Eisenhower sat down, made an agreement which would enable alien studies of human biology via abductions and animal mutilations in exchange for the use of extraterrestrial black technology or black ops tech that would lead to development of something like the B-2 stealth bomber. Later, it was suggested that John Kennedy was going to reveal it all. He had this threat to reveal the MJ-12 alien negotiations. A lot of people say that it was the reason for his assassination. Now, it is arguable that this is why he was assassinated, but when some of the controversial JFK files were released, we did a show about that, there were a few memos that Kennedy was concerned basically about somehow not being able to identify Russian satellites as opposed to what he referred to as unknown spacecraft. It was then that Kennedy first wanted a joint space program with the Soviet Union, but of course that didn't happen for many years to come. And believe it or not, an uncovered letter written by John F. Kennedy to the head of the CIA shows that President Kennedy demanded to be shown highly confidential documents about UFOs and how they affect national security. And that happened 10 days before his assassination. The body of the memorandum reads as follows. Quote, as I had discussed with you previously, I have initiated, redacted, and have instructed James Webb to develop a program with the Soviet Union in joint space and lunar exploration. It would be very helpful if you would have the high threat cases reviewed with the purpose of identification of bona fide as opposed to classified CIA and United States Air Force sources. It's important that we make a clear distinction between the knowns and unknowns in the event the Soviets try to mistake our extended cooperation as a cover for intelligence gathering of their defense and space programs. Now, when this data has been sorted out, this is what Kennedy continues to say, said, when this data has been sorted out, I would like you to arrange a program of data sharing with NASA where unknowns are a factor. This will help NASA mission directors in their defensive responsibilities. I would like an interim report on the data review no later than February 1st, 1964. John F. Kennedy signed. So these memorandums, of course, are very important in UFO investigations, especially when you go back to the Cold War and you read about that. So now we have memorandum 6751, A 1947 document dated July 8th, 1947. July 8th, 1947 is basically the date that Roswell was acknowledged. And this document, interesting enough, is called the Flying Roll. They called it the Flying Roll. So you've heard it called a flying saucer. In the document, it's called a flying roll. And the memorandum is addressed, according to what I'm reading here, to certain scientists of extinction to of distinction to important aeronautical and military authorities, to a number of public officials, and to a few publications. I guess they were thinking that they were going to release this information, but he's saying that he felt as though that basically submitting this document, where parts of it are redacted, he said, I think that just submitting this document, I don't know if anything will be accomplished here, because the data, he said, in the document, has been obtained by supernormal means, and this is why it would be sufficient to investigate it, and it may be disregarded because of the supernormal means in which it was obtained. So he says, you know, the anonymous writer here was out of San Diego, said something to the effect that the person's address, nevertheless, this is my public duty to make this available about the background and what is going on with the flying saucers or the flying rolls. July 8, 1947, San Diego, California, probably same day as Roswell. When Roswell happened in New Mexico, this was filed because of an investigation as to what was happening, and they immediately got some ideas and some answers. I'll read you some of that memo. It's very fascinating what they're saying about the Roswell crash. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clegg Lewis. It's Memorandum 6751. What are the secrets that they knew back on July 8, 1947? We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. I'm Clegg Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.